Our next guest, Ian Warburg, has a business career spanning more than 30 years. He's a third-generation Westporter who lives in Campo Beach with his famed wife, Jane Green, who's been on our show many times as a world-class author. Ian Warburg serves on a number of not-for-profit boards, including Save Westport Now, where he is an active leader, and the Acquia Institute. He's vice chair of the Soundview Empowerment Alliance. He led the effort to save the Old Mill Grocery and Deli from extinction, formerly known as Elmira's, to those of us who've been living in Westport a long time. He holds a BA in International Affairs. What I thought was fascinating is he has a master's in family therapy as well from Southern Connecticut. He and his wife have a blended family of six children, and they are empty nesters for the very first time in many, many years. And that energy and activism and optimism translates into caring an awful lot about the community that we both share, which is the town of Westport. Ian Warburg joins us right now to talk about a plan to transform a beloved area of Westport called the Saugatuck area. And hello and good morning and welcome, Ian Warburg, to the show today. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Lisa. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, it's lovely of you to be here, Ian. So, Ian, tell us a little bit, what is planned and who is planning it? And do they own the land yet? What's going on in Saugatuck? Have they bought the land? Have they assembled property that they own? Do they just want to change the zoning for everybody else? What's going on?
All great questions, Lisa. So the group leading this effort to transform Saugatuck is runs under the under the name of Roan, R-O-A-N. And they've got a project called The Hamlet in Saugatuck that they're proposing. And their approach to doing this is, as one would expect, to propose a text amendment to the Planning and Zoning Commission that would transform the use of land or what's possible on the properties that they have assembled. And I think what they've done is they've assembled about 4.5 acres of property. I don't know if they've actually acquired the real estate, but I know that they've secured rights to about 4.5 acres in total. So it's the old Morton's parking area, the Minuteman cleaners, you know, really the entire back of the block behind Railroad Place.
Right.
And then land across the street between Riverside and the river, so the All Seasons Marine shop, the marina that's there, and one or two other properties are included. And their plan calls for one, changing the zoning regulation through a text amendment, and what they're proposing that they will do in the event that the text amendment were to pass is to construct 11 buildings, which will contain a variety.
Wow.
Yes. So their idea is to be, you know, create 50% open space, but they are asking for some pretty significant concessions. They want to see building height bonuses granted that will allow them to create buildings that are roughly 7 stories. That doesn't mean they would contain 7 actual stories, but peak building heights of about 72 feet, which is significantly taller.
Significantly, because it's 34 feet in Westport in most cases.
Well, yes, to the midpoint, and then you get you get some additional you know, freeboard above that to allow for roof peaks. What they're proposing also contemplates the town allowing them this in exchange for their undertaking environmental remediation. There's a fair amount of pollution here due to the prior uses and current uses. For example, the Minuteman Cleaner site is very polluted from the various activities of running a dry cleaning operation, and I believe prior uses is automotive sales and repair. So part of what they're hoping is that, you know, the town will, in exchange for their undertaking the very expensive work of remediating completely the environmental issues on these properties, that they would get some additional height to allow them to offset the costs of doing that work.
Who are the principals behind this?
There are a couple of guys, and pardon me for not remembering their names off the top of my head. I met with them about a week or two ago. One is Rodrigo Real, and the other is Martin Purcell, and I think there's one other person. And then they're being supported in their efforts by, obviously, a team of experts, including Peter Romano of Landtech.
Thank you. I just want to know who the players are. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ian Warburg, so 70-foot-high stories, 70-foot-high buildings, that could have an impact on other people's view of the Saugatuck River, of a lot of things in their landscape. And it would bring, if they want to bring 11 buildings, it will also bring a lot of people there. How are these people, how are their cars going to be stored, for example? What kind of density?
These are great questions. So in some ways, what they're proposing is not, while it sounds pretty overwhelming, you know, when you consider that the 21 Charles Street, you know, is a five-story, 70-foot tall or 72-foot tall office building that kind of juts out above the skyline of Saugatuck.
And it's an ugly building.
It can't help itself, but their plan would call for reskinning the building. But if you could imagine 11 additional buildings that would be of varying heights, but up to and including the same height as this building, those buildings would dot the landscape here. Now, what their proposal is interesting in that it only calls for the development plan, which is different from the text amendment. The text amendment, you know, in theory, once it's approved,
Any developer
could abandon the plan that they're showcasing today in favor of another. Right. So, you know, there's no guarantee that they would follow through on this plan if that were to be approved. Right. Their current plan calls for the creation of 35 luxury residential condominiums, I believe, and 55 upscale hotel rooms, in addition to meeting space and a mix of retail, restaurant, and kind of community space or activity space. Now, you asked about parking. So part of what their concept includes is digging down and creating subterranean parking to service the buildings, and then contemplates as well using available parking at the railroad station and in the neighborhood that is underutilized during off hours. And so
it's never underutilized. Are you kidding me? There's almost no off hours there. It's our train station. I mean, we're chatting with Ian Warburg. I mean, I'm at that train station fairly frequently, and we have, thankfully, because we've been in town 32 years, we have a parking sticker. We've never given up.
But
good luck finding a parking spot there. It's really
hard. So, I mean, look, parking, the big issues, I think, for Westport, it's not just, you know, the revitalization of this part of town. It's making sure that what does happen here is sensible and meets the needs of the broader community. I think it's an ambitious project and one that is, you know, worthy of considering. But we have to bear in mind that there are people in Westport who come to Westport and rely on their easy access to and through Saugatuck. For the access to the highway. And we would hate to see anything take place down here that would further worsen traffic in any significant way, making it harder for those residents of the community and those who visit the town to get to the train station or from it or through Saugatuck to other parts of town.
Yeah.
So these are big issues. The other issue that hangs out there, of course, in Connecticut, is there is the 830G statute. And so while this plan probably offers a far lower intensity of use than an 830G might allow, we have to bear in mind that there are other possibilities that could be far more impactful. And it's very important that the town, you know, really take seriously and address, you know, our needs for creating more deed-restricted affordable housing. And so this project would probably create 7 to 9 additional affordable units. And you know, the question remains, should they be creating more, you know, so that the town can kind of keep up and move toward better satisfying the state mandated affordability requirements? And, you know, we do have a project that while in litigation may come to fruition up on Hiawatha, where there are 157 units of residential housing being proposed, which will add, you know, hundreds of new cars to the neighborhood.
It's a lot of rentals for Westport. These condos are going to be available for sale, not rental. Is that right?
My understanding is that these will be high-end condominiums available for sale.
Okay.
The affordable units that they would create, the 7 to 9 units that their proposal would create, would, of course, I believe, be rentals.
You know, it's so interesting about these affordable. We're chatting with Ian Warburg about a proposal to redevelop part of Saugatuck. You know, to me, it's just banking for their grandchildren, because in 40 years, they get it back. They own it. So it's like a sponsor-owned unit in a co-op or a condo in Manhattan. You just hold on to it, and it becomes part of the family legacy. 7 to 9 affordable units, unless we change the law. After 40 years, the deed restriction goes away, and they go back to the owner as market rate.
You're exactly right. And while it helps to address a problem in what is, you know, 40 years is a relatively short period of time.
It is a very relatively short period of time.
Yeah,
that's right.
It doesn't address a bigger problem in the longer term.
No, and it doesn't create any actual wealth for the people who are renting. So that's
exactly right. I think that is the real tragedy of these programs, mm-hmm. is that we don't enable people to get on the property ladder to begin to build equity in the home they live in and hopefully own.
Like, if I were envisioning this, I'd rather see those 7 to 9 units be affordable condos and make a deal with the state of Connecticut, which is already underwriting $50,000 in down payment financing and helping people secure loans. You want to help people take some of these nice condos, take 7 to 9 condos, and allow them to be bought for an affordable price.
Would be amazing.
Right? Would be.
Yep. And that's something that Westport, you know, with the loss of the Hiawatha property, in relative terms, that was one of the last remaining affordable places for people to own homes.
Correct. That's right. That's right. All right, Ian Warburg, I thank you so much for drilling down and giving us, I learned a lot today. I didn't know about all of this. I didn't understand where the 4.5 acres were. We are not privy to whether or not there's actual ownership or some kind of contingency contract that says, if the town does this, then we'll buy it. Because that's very typical with developers.
Exactly right. Now, important to note that the proposed text amendment that would allow what these developers are proposing, or anything else they might later choose to do, or others who might succeed them. The text amendment, the hearing for that, I believe, is taking place on September 12th, and can be, you know, members of your audience can join that call and participate, at least as viewers and perhaps as members of the public offering comment.
Are they going to have a hybrid thing, or is it going to be in person?
I believe it's going to be a Zoom call.
I can't stand that. Ian, you have to object. For Save Westport Now, you have to object. You have to say there's value in having these hearings in person or hybrid. Come on.
I agree. And hopefully we'll get back to that very soon.
Well, there's no reason not to get back to that. There is zero reason. I want you to know that in town hall, as we speak, in probate court, we are installing hybrid technology, so that I can have my hearings hybrid. You can't tell me that town hall in Westport can't have hybrid meetings. Come on. People have a right to see what's going on, and they have a right to speak with people, and they have a right to be anonymous in public hearings. They do not have to, or should never have to, sign up to attend a public hearing.
You raise a very good point, Lisa.
I feel very strongly about that, Ian. Very strongly. People should be allowed to be a fly on the wall at a public hearing. That's what it means to have a public hearing.
Well,
and in Zoom, you can't be. You have to register. And that's wrong. That's wrong. It takes away the anonymity of a democracy. It's wrong.
No.
Just saying.
I appreciate your passion, and I agree with you. I hope we get back to that very soon. The one thing I do think about the Zoom calls is that it does allow some people who might not otherwise be able to participate to do so. But I agree, returning to a hybrid would be ideal and should happen very soon.
And it should happen very soon, particularly for something so important like this kind of a hearing. People, I mean, you know, it's important. Some people will want to be in the room. Others will want to, you know, participate from elsewhere or view it from elsewhere. But some people will want to be in the room, and they should have the right to be in the room. So it's September 12th, a text amendment that can profoundly affect the Saugatuck region. If you care about it, if you care about Westport, if you think about it one way or another, you're going to want to be paying attention to this. Ian Warburg, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Lisa, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show.